Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us. Bob, Kelly, Dima, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio in Hattiesburg. And we've got an hour of good sports talk programming for you. Aaron Gershon is a writer for Cat's Paw 24/7 Sports. He's going to preview the Kentucky Wildcats for finally getting around football practice and closer to a game. Seth Smith's going to tell us about the Pearl River Wildcat football team just south of us, and we're going to talk about all kinds of good stuff here in the next hour. Opening segment is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, such a great place to take your family for dinner anytime you like, and a great place to cater the first upcoming tailgate. Dickey's would be the perfect people for you to call. All right, about, 10 days away now, guys? Seems like it's been a fall camp for about 6 months, but we're getting near the end of that, and I'm sure the guys on the football team are anxious to see somebody in a different jersey. They'll see guys in blue jerseys, blue and white, a week from Saturday. That's when they'll travel up to Kentucky to take on the Kentucky Wildcats. We got Aaron Gershon on the show with us. He's a writer for Cat's Paw 24/7 Sports. He knows everything there is to know about Kentucky Wildcat football. And Aaron, first of all, we really appreciate you coming on our program and sharing your thoughts with our listening audience around the state.
Anytime. Happy to do it.
All right. So let me just start out with the basic question. How good will the 2024 Kentucky football team be?
Man, it's a good question. I mean, they have a lot of depth. I think that's the biggest thing. And their defensive line, front seven, is probably as well as it's been put together under Mark Stoops, and that's saying a lot because they've had some really good front seven. So I'm really excited to see how that's going to play out. I think they're going to be a pretty dominant run defense. I think pass defense has the potential to improve a lot from last year. They have a lockdown corner in Maxwell Harrison. They have a lot of – they have four guys deep at safety. It's just a matter of finding a solution at the other corner spot, exactly who's going to start there. That's been a big fall camp battle that we should know what the verdict is on that. Either tomorrow or Monday. And then offensively, I think the first thing first is the offensive line's in much better shape than it has been the last 2 years. They've just built more depth. They have four returning starters, and then, or I guess three guys who are going to start. Four returning starters, one that's now going to move into a kind of a, like the sixth man off the bench, can play guard and tackle, and Dylan Ray. And then you bring in, you know, Gerald Mincy, who's the starter the last 2 years at Tennessee, to fill that one spot at right tackle that they lost a starter in from last year. So there's a lot to like about this football team, but it's a grueling schedule. I think that's the biggest thing. I think with the way the schedule is set up, I think there's a path to get to 8 wins. I think you can make a case if they get an upset and get to 9. It also wouldn't surprise me if they're a 6-6 football team, just given the schedule. So it's going to be very interesting, and obviously there's not really much time to settle into the season with their schedule. I mean, Southern Miss comes in. I know they're supposed to be a much better team down there, as you all know. And obviously Kentucky, Mark Stoops probably has nightmares about the 2016 game and the close call in 17. And then South Carolina comes in, Georgia comes in, go to Ole Miss Week 5. So there's not going to be any settling into the season by any means.
Yeah, you talked about that defensive front player that I'd like for our listeners to hear about, Deion Walker. He's named a second-team preseason All-American, announced on Monday. He's on the defensive line, obviously. Just an all-around tough football player. Obviously, can you talk about him and some of the other pieces on the defensive line that the Golden Eagle offensive front will have to answer for?
Yeah, Deion Walker is just a monster. I mean, that guy's going to be, I think I've seen him projected as high as the fourth pick in next year's NFL draft. Just a guy you would think would be on Georgia's defensive line. If you remember Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter from a few years back, those are the guys I compare him to. Just he's 6'6", 348, and he moves like he's a 6'3", outside backer. So he's a guy that gets double and triple teams all the time, and he's just a monster of a human being. So he's the biggest factor, obviously, on the D-line, but they also have other guys up there. I mean, Octavius Oxendine's a guy going into his fifth year that is finally healthy. He's been battling injuries throughout his time here. 2021, he had a game against LSU where he had 2.5 sacks, also suffered a season-ending injury that game. They've been kind of playing with his weight, trying to get him back healthy, and they finally feel like he's in a really good spot. So he's back at the DN position. They have Keyshawn Silver at nose tackle. He's a guy that was a five-star recruit back in 2022, played his first year at North Carolina, came in, did a pretty good job here last year, another 6'5", you know, 330 guy. So a lot of size, a lot of depth. They're probably two or three units deep on that D-line, and then an outside backer, J.J. Weaver, a guy who's been here for seemingly forever, it feels like. He's led the team in sacks two of the last 3 years on the edge, and he had a really, really strong finish to last year. Another guy with a lot of length that they love. So that's definitely the strength of this football team, is that defensive line and then front seven when you have the linebacking core.
And Brock Vandegrift, the quarterback coming from Georgia,
yep,
all out of the portal, not a a ton of play time experience, but a very highly recruited quarterback out of high school.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, he was the number five quarterback in the 21 class, only behind guys like Caleb Williams and Drake May. I think were two of the guys ahead of him off the top of my head. So two guys who were just drafted 1 and 3 in the NFL. I mean, this is a guy, again, you're right, he hasn't played much. He doesn't have a start under his belt, but you would think he's learned from the best. You know, being at Georgia, spending 2 years with Seston Bennett, a year with Carson Beck as the starter. He's a guy that, from everything I've heard, just has a very good understanding of where the ball needs to go. He's a guy that's mobile. He's not going to sit around in the pocket. He's gonna make things happen, whether it's throwing on the run or just taking off and taking what's there. So I've been, from what I've heard, he's really impressed in camp and in the spring. The turnovers, there hasn't been much of that. So, but like you said, he just hasn't played. So there's no really settling into the season with how the schedule lays out. So we're all as fascinated as y'all are to see exactly how it goes. And then the other thing that's interesting at quarterback is they bring in Gavin Wymstad, a transfer from Rutgers, who's from the state of Kentucky, but played 3 years at Rutgers, started 2 seasons there. And he's actually the most experienced guy in the quarterback room. He's not going to start, obviously, but they're going to use him in the run game to supplement. You know, they have an injury at running back with Chip Traynham. And even before that, the plan was to have him be a guy where you can line him up in certain packages, even have two quarterbacks on the field and do some things with him, because he can really move. He's 6'3", 228, and he's one of the faster guys on the whole roster. So I think that's a guy you're going to see in there in that week one game as well.
Aaron Gershon is with us from Cats Paw 24/7. They cover Kentucky Wildcat. And this is Kentucky Wildcat Sports. This is a football guy first. That's what we like about Aaron, because this is football season. And Aaron, when this schedule shuffling took place between Ohio State and Kentucky and Akron and Southern Miss, when you look at when the dust finally settled, it would seem to me, with all due respect, that if there was a loser in this deal, it was probably Kentucky, because Southern Miss
they had to go to Akron, though.
Well, okay, you get a home game, but still, I just think that with the history of Southern Miss being, Jack Crystal used to call Southern Miss the Giant Killers, because, you know, they just have such a reputation of rising up and winning some games that a lot of people didn't expect them to win. This is probably not your typical first games that Kentucky would schedule.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was just teasing. They did that just to avoid going to Akron at all costs. I mean, they just did not want to have that week one road game, and it is what it is. But you're right. Obviously, Southern misses, and they've done it to Kentucky. We saw it in 2016, the Shannon Dawson revenge game, as we like to call it up here. And then 2017, you know, Southern Miss gave Kentucky a hell of a fight in Hattiesburg. So this is definitely not a game where I think Kentucky's overlooking. And it is easy for the fans and even maybe some in the building to overlook, just given South Carolina and Georgia come in here week two and three. But absolutely, I mean, this is a challenging week one opponent. I mean, the last couple of years, last year they played Ball State, a team that finished near the bottom of the MAC. The year before that, they played Miami, Ohio, who was actually projected to finish near the top of the MAC. They had an injury at quarterback, didn't work out that year, but last year actually won that conference. And then the year before that, they opened with ULM. So, yeah, this is definitely their, you know, their toughest week one non-conference game in quite some time. But it's a game that's of utmost importance because they just can't afford to lose any of the games they're perceived that they should win this season, just given how the schedule works out. But yes, it was definitely an interesting situation with the shuffling with Akron, Ohio State, and all that worked out. But like I said, I think it just came down to they rather have the tougher opponent. Maybe that'll help them prepare, you know, for things later in the year better than have to go up and play a game at Akron in front of, you know, 200 people and just a big travel week one when they don't have to.
So Ohio State is going to play them. What a sacrifice by the Buckeyes. Huh? Hey, Aaron, can you stick around? We've got a short break. I got a few more questions we'd like to throw your way.
Yeah, go for it.
Aaron Kershaw, everybody, with Cat's Paw 24/7 Sport. You being a closet Ohio State fan, Dame, aren't you just a little ashamed?
I'm sad. So Ohio State is not playing Southern Miss.
Aren't you just a little ashamed, Dame?
I'm not ashamed.
No. Well, you can get a good set of tires in Akron. I understand.
I think Ole Miss is opening the season with Furman. So
yeah, that's right.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. If you're online, a great place to buy all your Southern Miss apparel. You know that. Kathleen is great. You know that as well. So check them out, Campus Bookmart on Hardy, campusbookmart.net. Don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it 24/7 on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come, PRCC head football coach Seth Smith is going to join us, but we're going to continue our conversation right now with Aaron Kershaw of Cat's Paw 24/7 Sports. Okay, Aaron, so you made mention of it several years ago. Southern Miss and Kentucky played two games. Golden Eagles won there. Kentucky won here. But what is different about the Kentucky football team that Southern Miss will face a week from Saturday than perhaps the team that they were able to upset in Lexington several years back?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, that was kind of the start of that. The 2016 season was the start of the, you know, the current run that Kentucky's had of eighth-grade bowl games, which is only with Alabama and Georgia. It's the longest in the SEC, only behind those two. So, you know, that was week one of the 2016 loss, week one there. They started that season 0-2, and that Mark Stoops was on the hot seat. He didn't know if he was even going to survive that entire season, let alone, you know, could he have gotten fired midseason. And, you know, they got it going the rest of the year. They were able to win seven games. They beat Louisville that year, who was the number 11 team in the country when they went in there with the Heisman Trophy winning Lamar Jackson. And then in 2017, it was another 7-6 year, and then they kept kind of building it from there. So that was, you know, those were the early stages of the Mark Stoops era, where he inherited just a mess of a program, to put it frankly. I mean, they were, you know, 2-10 in 2012. Under Joker Phillips, it was a depleted roster. There wasn't much talent to work with. And, you know, 2016 was kind of the first year that Kentucky kind of had a Mark Stoops imprint on it from a roster perspective. He kind of had a full group of guys that he desired to have there, and you know the talent started improving. So they honestly weren't quite a I wouldn't say they weren't an SEC program, because they obviously were, but they weren't where they needed to be at that point in time to compete in the SEC. 2017, they were closer for sure, and now, you know, they've competed pretty much every year. They've definitely, you know, are not content with being 7-6 like they've been the last 2 years. They have some 10-win seasons, you know, sprinkled in since then in 2018 and 2021. They want to get back to, you know, a number like that. But, yeah, that was the early days of the Mark Stoops tenure, and that was kind of the beginning of the start of some of the good times. But that Southern Miss game in 2016, obviously, it looked like, man, could this be the beginning of the end? And, you know, now we're here, and Mark Stoops is the longest tenured coach in the league.
And Kentucky's had some very good teams the past couple of seasons. They just seemingly just can't get over the hump. And beating Georgia, I think they were undefeated going to Athens 2 years ago.
They were.
Or maybe last year. I don't remember. But
last year.
Yeah, last year. So, yeah, there you go. And they just haven't seemingly been able to get over that hump. And with the SEC changing in the ways, you don't even have to get over Georgia. You have to get over Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Alabama, all these teams now, because there's no more divisions. How does Kentucky take that next step?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the schedule is just – it's a bear this year. I mean, you mentioned some of those teams in there. They have to go to Ole Miss. They have to play Georgia early. They have to go to Texas. They have to play at Tennessee. I mean, it's just – it's a grueling, grueling schedule. So they got to figure out a way to win some of those games. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it this year, but they've just got to keep, you know, just keep recruiting as best you can and hope maybe you could catch them on an off day, because it's going to be really hard to do it otherwise. I'm not exactly sure if, to be frank, if Kentucky's ever going to climb that SEC ladder, but I do think they can get over that 7-win hump and have some special years every now and then, and maybe even this year. Again, I think this roster, from a talent perspective, is much better than the last 2 years, and I think Mark Stoops would tell you the same thing. They have way less holes. They really, honestly, if the things work out in the secondary like they seem to be tracking to, I mean, this is as deep and as good of a roster as he's had in his 12 years here. It's just that schedule is so unforgiving, and it's not quite filled with five stars. It's more filled with 4 and 3 stars. So we'll see how it plays out. But it's honestly just going to be about recruiting, development, and then going out and taking care of business. They also, the thing that slowed them down the last 2 years is they got to win some of those swing games at home, which they had been doing, but the last 2 years that's taken a step back, whether it's losing to South Carolina in 22, Missouri, I know they finished really well, but they played Missouri before we knew they were going to be an 11-win team, and they were up 14-0, and a fake punt touchdown by Missouri flipped the game on its head. They end up losing that one, and the season kind of spiraled from there. So they got to avoid those, you know, home losses that are winnable. Like the two games this year I point to are South Carolina and Auburn. I think they could beat both those teams. And frankly, if they want to get to where they want to go, they got to win those. So I would say that's the biggest thing.
Now, Aaron, a lot of colleges go through feast or famine streaks in their athletic programs. And with all due respect, Kentucky now seems to be riding a feast streak. But there was a time, as you mentioned, the Joker Phillips era, and the baseball team wasn't near as good as it is now. Are Kentucky fans finally done with saying, well, we'll just wait for basketball season?
Yeah, because basketball season hasn't done them any good lately. I think that's part of it. Though, that, you know, we'll see how this, you know, Mark Pope and the new coaching staff and the whole new roster goes this year. But no, this fan base is rabid, just obsessed with Big Blue. They want to win, and they want to win at a high level every year with all their programs. I mean, look, the women's basketball team the last 2 years have been awful. They see how much fun women's basketball is becoming across the country, especially here in the SEC, where you have South Carolina, LSU, and all these great programs, and they pretty much revolted, and they got the coach fired, and they go out and get Kenny Brooks and make him one of the top 10 highest paid coaches in the country. And baseball wise, like you said, you know, so many years of being just terrible, frankly, and the last 2 years making it to Super Regionals and then the College World Series this year. And the fans were unbelievable supporting that team. I mean, I met a fan from Michigan out in Omaha that said he had traveled from Michigan to Kentucky for the Regional, the Super Regional, and then went to Omaha. So, you know, they're crazy about every athletic program here. Obviously, football probably second, basketball first. But, no, they expect to win and do it at the highest level.
Yeah, we kind of like baseball down here, Aaron. That'd be a good weekend series.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun weekend series. All right, last question for me, and then Demon may have another one before he lets you go. Let our listeners that are going to be making the trip and perhaps have never been to Kentucky for a football game, let them know what to expect. What will the atmosphere be like? What is game day like up there in Kentucky?
Yeah, it's an underrated environment, I would say. I think it's obviously going to be a 7:45 kick. They have the new LED lights, so there are going to be light shows and stuff like that this year that they haven't had in the past. So that's going to be new, not just for fans who are coming up from Southern Miss, but for fans locally. But it's not October, so you don't have the Keeneland experience, which is obviously the horse racing. But, you know, the tailgate scene right outside the field, you can walk up to anything and people will take care of you. It's usually... It'll be late in the afternoon. Hopefully it's not too hot out there, but it's a great tailgating scene, really, from right all the parking lots around the stadium, throughout campus. I mean, it's an event, obviously, that people, the build-up for it, especially week one, is probably one of the better tailgating atmospheres of the whole year. So you have all that. There are plenty of local places not too far from campus, whether you're talking downtown on Limestone Street there to eat and hang out, good bars and all that. So I think Lexington's one of the more underrated cities in the country. I mean, I lived here for 7 years, so I'm biased, but I think it's an underrated game day atmosphere. Everyone I kind of talk to that comes in and is like, oh, it's Kentucky football, ends up telling me they had a great time when they come here.
Real quick, for Southern Miss football to upset Kentucky, they have to do...
They're going to have to control the line of scrimmage on both sides. I think that's the key. I mean, it's going to be hard to do, especially offensive line. I haven't dug too much into it. Southern Miss's, you know, strengths and weaknesses yet, but, you know, their offensive line's going to have to take care of a really good defensive line that, you know, finished the year with a 6-sack game at Louisville, an 8-sack game at Clemson. And then offensively, you know, just being able to, or defensively, being able to create some pressure and getting to Brock Vandegrift and, you know, trying to limit what he's able to do in the run game as well. So I think if they can win the line of scrimmages, I know it's the easy answer, they'll have a chance because Kentucky's just, you know, if there's time to throw for Rodemaker, whoever's playing quarterback for y'all. There are some questions in the secondary that may not quite be ironed out week one. And, you know, I'm not sure how much Premier or anyone, honestly, to be able to run the ball against Kentucky. But if Rodemaker or whoever it is has time to throw and the offensive line can hold off, I mean, it could create some problems early on, especially given it's week one and, you know, there's some inexperience in that secondary. And then offensively, you know, if the defensive line can get pressure or even if they can take away some things in the pass game and make Kentucky one-dimensional in the run game, you know, Kentucky's got real questions at running back. So those would be the keys for me.
All right, Aaron, great preview, man. We really appreciate you coming on the show. I think that was extremely informative, and I'm sure our listeners enjoyed it. And we thank you, my man. We look forward to the game a week from Saturday.
Anytime, guys. Y'all take care.
Aaron Kershaw, everybody. Catspaw 24/7 Sport. Great preview, by the way.
Yes.
That's a good job.
I just want to make sure that check clears, too, Aaron. Do whatever you make sure.
Yeah. Okay. I think the check will clear. That's probably not better.
Be a problem.
All right, when we come back, we're going to switch gears, talk a little Wildcat football, Pearl River style next.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
The Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, Super Talk Eagle Hour. I want to thank Aaron Kershaw from Catspaw 24/7 Sports for giving us that Kentucky Wildcat preview. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Great place to take your bride to lunch. Great place to have a good meal at night and always catch the big Southern Miss football game on the TV at 4th Street Bar and Grill. We will be there. We will be there a week from Friday at 4th Street Bar and Grill to kick off the football season. All right, our next guest is head football coach. We're on Wildcat. This is Wildcat Wednesday. Is that
Hey, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Had the Kentucky Wildcats, isn't that right?
Yeah.
And now we've got Pearl River Community College head football coach Seth Smith. And, Coach, great pleasure to have you on the show. I want to tell you how much Super Talk really appreciates its relationship with your fine school. And we know you got a new quarterback, and you're looking forward to a great football season, Coach.
Honored to be on here on Wildcat Wednesday. Yes, sir. Yeah, we are. We're very excited. You know, Mr. Kelly, all I can do is, you know, apologize or maybe give him a thank you card. He's had to watch some really, really bad offense over the past couple of years. So we're hoping that when he's up there calling games, he'll actually use the phrase touchdown Wildcat. That's the hope.
There we go.
And actually, in the offseason, Coach, you kind of revamped the offense and hired somebody who knows what was the old Mac Jack offensive football probably better than anybody.
Yeah, Coach David Boykin, man, he's been I'm telling you, I tell people he's the answer prayer. He's the guy, thank God he dropped him off. I mean, and so intelligent. He has forgotten more football than I know, and he's great with the kids. You know, there's so many things that I could have done better since I've had this opportunity, but the one area, you've seen it, we've just been so porous offensively. And it wasn't from lack of trying. Our scheme was outdated for this league. And, you know, when Coach Boykin was available, the goal was to find the best coach in the country that we thought was available and fit. I mean, he's won national championships, state championships at multiple levels. He's won everywhere he's been. You know, he's averaged over 40 points, a game, a year. So he checked all the boxes. And the other thing, when you have a coach like him, who actually runs a modern-day offense, you can recruit better. You can get quarterbacks. You can get receivers. So the whole thing, man, it's just been a great vibe all summer, all fall camp, you know, leading up the next Thursday. So, yeah, we're extremely excited.
And we've talked on this program, even if it's Pop Warner football, if you don't have a quarterback, you're dead in the water. And by all indications that we're hearing from practices and other teams around the state, Pearl River, sure enough, has a quarterback this year. Tell us about young Mr. Barnett.
I think we do. Cade Barnett, a kid that played at Oak Grove for Coach Drew Causey, who, you know, has won state championships. Cade actually won the first one for Coach Causey. Played there, you know, went to Northwest. He's older, too, which is so helpful. And actually got a medical red shirt last year at Hines Community College and wanted to get closer to home. And then when we hired Coach Boykin was able to scoop him up. So, you know, fits the bill, man. 6'4", 215, can throw it, can run it. You know, he's a highly intelligent kid. And from my standpoint, now that I'm really just an extension of a cheerleader, I love my new role, and it's fun sitting back watching, cheering those guys on. Because the other thing they're doing, you know, for the most part since we've been here, we've always played pretty good defense. But we haven't ever went into a season going against an offense like we have. So, to me, it's only going to make us better on defense as well. So, it's been all around. It's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, and you mentioned Drew Causey, who's a Pearl River guy himself. Drew Causey not only played but coached at Pearl River in his coaching career. But when you talk about this Pearl River team, you've got – what does it mean, Coach Seth Smith, to have a boss in Dr. Adam Brearwood who comes from a sports background? That's not – it doesn't happen very often, but you've got a guy that understands the shoes you're walking in.
Yeah, you know, honestly, again, talk about an answered prayer. If he was not my boss and didn't come from a sports background, you would probably be interviewing somebody else right now. But hopefully, even through, you know, as tough as last year was, you know, he still believes in us, and hopefully we're doing something right to where he sees, okay, if I can just be patient, watch these guys learn and grow, they're doing this right. If they just fix this, you know, they'll have a chance to represent this college in the way that we hired them to represent it. So, he's been awesome. I tell people this all the time, and I mean it. And I'm not just saying this to be some suck-up. It's the truth. You know, there's no excuse, and I mean this, there's no excuse why we shouldn't win at Pearl River. There's none. I mean, we have the facilities. We have the leadership up top with Dr. Brewood and Dr. Long and those guys. Everything is in place for us to be successful. It's just up to us to do it. And there's no, I mean, I don't matter, you know, it doesn't matter what you do for, you know, as a living, a profession, all you can ask is that if it don't work out, it's your fault. And we're given that opportunity. So we're going to do the best to make sure this year it won't be our fault and we get everything done the way they want it done.
Well, the Wildcats will open a week from Thursday night as they will travel to Senatobia to take on the Rangers of Northwest. But, Coach Smith, you're also in the brutal Southern Division when you're every year you're going to have to to battle Gulf Coast. You're going to have to battle Jones, who comes to Pearl River this year. It seems like the first time in a long time. But Colin is also a team that every year is good, man. There just doesn't seem to be an easy one on the schedule.
Yeah, they really are. A little side note right quick. If I start saying a little bit, it's because I'm driving. I'm on my way to Columbia, and I'm trying hard not to wreck while I'm talking. But, yeah, look, these everybody in this league, this is we've spoke about this multiple times. It's just incredible how different this is than high school. You know, I always respected what these guys did, but I really just had no idea really how demanding these jobs are. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it's what you sign up for. But everybody's good. There's no off week. This year you get a bye week, but there is no off week. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're playing Southwest, you're playing Gulf Coast, everybody's got good players. Everybody's well coached. And if, you know, these games so many times come down to two or three plays, if you don't execute, you're not going to win. So, yeah, to your point, you know, there's always got to be such a high sense of urgency and to make sure. And, look, these kids know we're demanding on them. We'll make it clear to them, listen, we love you. We're not out here hollering at you, just a holler. That's purpose. But you have to be so demanding to make sure it's done right. Because you're striving for perfection, because that's the only way you're even going to have a chance against some of these teams.
Coach, for people who, you know, national college football, that they don't really see community college as something as entertaining as football as the national. But I feel like community college football has really just skyrocketed, especially in the South, as far as interest levels and stuff like that. How have you seen that shift over the past couple of seasons? Because I feel like it's just constantly going up and more popular.
No, I agree. But, I mean, it's twofold. One is you've got really good players in the league. Two, you've got really good coaches who develop these players. Mm-hmm. And then these kids leave and go on and play at four-year schools. And for the most part, the ones that leave and go to four-year schools have an immediate impact on the four-year school they go to.
Yeah.
So it's a fun league to watch, kind of like in Major League Baseball. You have minor leagues, so it's kind of like watching a really good minor league team get ready to go up to the majors because – I mean, everything's done first class. I'm telling you, I'm not just saying this. All these coaches throughout this league from top to bottom do an excellent job, and they do a great job in recruiting. They do a great job in developing, and then they do a great job of putting these kids in position to be successful. So that's why the league is so tough, and I think the parity, too, is also what makes it fun to watch because anybody – I know this is cliche, but it's the truth. Anybody can beat anybody any given Thursday or Saturday.
And Pearl River has a great relationship with Southern Miss. And Frog Jones, you know, wide receiver, was at Pearl River. I think Michael Caraway came from. So, I mean, the list of Pearl River players that will eventually become Golden Eagles if they haven't already. Yeah. How would you describe that relationship, Coach?
Yeah, well, I mean, we love Coach Hall. I mean, I know they had a rough year last year. I have no doubt he'll get it going. But, you know, when you're around these kids, you know, in some cases 6 months, some cases a year, some cases 2 years. But regardless, you grow to love these guys and you want to send them somewhere where you feel like the next person is just going to keep elevating them as a human being and as a player. And that's one thing Coach Hall does a tremendous job of. I know if they go play for him, he's going to take care of them. And there's a lot to be said about that because, you know, these kids give a lot to us. So the least we can do is give back. And part of giving back is to make sure we get them to a place where the next coach is going to keep trying to elevate them on and off the field.
All right, Coach, we appreciate you being on the show. Just a few seconds left. Kelly is wearing a Pearl River football shirt.
I like what I'm hearing.
Honest question. How many shirts, pants, socks, clothing items does Kelly beg off of you in the course of one season, Coach?
You know, not enough, really. Not enough, but I'm hopeful that we'll be good enough this year that not only do I give him two or three shirts, me and him go eat lunch one day. Well, that would make for a great year.
Well, bring your wallet, Coach. Just let me tell you that. If you take him to lunch, you make sure you bring your wallet, okay?
I appreciate it, fellas. Thank y'all.
All right, Coach. Thanks a lot. Coach Seth Smith. Listen to a guy like that. You got to pull for him, man. You want him to do well.
And look, again, they're giddy at Pearl River because, and of course, they're going to have to protect Cade Burnett, the quarterback, but they've got him a quarterback, and they just haven't had a bona fide one the last two or three years. And as Southern Miss fans, we can kind of relate to that, too. So there's reasons to be optimistic.
You didn't buy that shirt, did you?
Of course not.
Unbelievable.
Birth, death, taxes, free shirts for Santa. four things that are given in life.
Some things never change, folks.
That's right.
We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
And that concludes Wildcat Wednesday on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Welcome back. DBAT sponsors this segment of our show. On Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball softball facility for training of kids of every age. Got a great pro shop for birthdays. Just a lot of reasons to take your children to DBAT. And Luke Reynolds can teach them, and we know how he could hit. So, DBAT, Hardy Street, really appreciate all they do to support our program. Mo Baby J Company, now officially endorsed by our young man here, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. They have the DEMA Mixon Seal of Approval?
Yes.
And don't forget, if you're an Eagle Club member, just show them your Eagle Club membership card and you'll get a free dipping sauce.
Yes, they put the sauce on the beignets and do not drink the sauce, per Kelly standard.
Yeah, well, I didn't know my beignet etiquette.
Genesis of Hattiesburg is the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are absolutely fine, as is their new showroom. It's on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg, and it is beautiful. So we appreciate Genesis of Hattiesburg for all they do. All right, Damon, news and notes. Let's hear them.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. First and foremost, Southern Miss basketball and the Ole Miss Rebels will return to the court at Mississippi Coast Coliseum. This game will be played on my birthday, actually, December 14th. It'll be I don't think they have a time for the tip yet, but it'll be again in the Mississippi Coast Coliseum. So it's just good to have both of those squads get back on the court. And then Jay Ladner is back in Hattiesburg on men's basketball. Jay Ladner back in Hattiesburg. He took a trip to Kuwait for the Operation Hardwick Classic basketball tournament in Kuwait. So he was one of the eight coach volunteers over there where the Troops First Foundation provided transportation. So I guess this was some basketball tournament that he was able to coach that was specific to Kuwait, the people out there, the military personnel out there who were involved in the tournament. So that's really good for them.
And I'm sure the weather in Kuwait this time of year is just, it's lovely.
Oh, yeah.
About 140.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure you need a turban on or something. You know. Southern Miss soccer back on the road tomorrow night. They will face number 15 Auburn in a road test. The kickoff will be at 6:30 p.m. Obviously, as we covered, Southern Miss soccer is 1-0 on the season, and they look to upset the Tigers out there in Auburn. We also have it from a confirmed source, which is X, that Southern Miss coach Will Hall will be wearing a sweater vest with a QR code on it for the first football game of the season.
No, that's not true.
This is from official Will Hall's Twitter account, Cloverleaf Mall, who I endorse as one of the best burner accounts in Southern Miss, tweeted that Will Hall will be wearing a sweater vest on his coach's vest. Here you go. Look at this, Mr. Bob.
And I would bet that
no,
that
he's not.
And Will Hall said, quote, he quote tweeted it and said, quote, "I like it. Make the vest and let's get it done."
But I'll bet you if that's
like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
If that's a legit QR code, I'll bet you anything it's a To the Top Collective.
Well, yeah, that's
QR code.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. If anyone out there actually has a picture of Coach Ladner wearing a turban, please send it to me.
I wonder if he ran into Hump or Kelnack.
He could have.
Over there. You know?
Has he?
Let's see. Hump, did you see Coach Ladner? I take that as a yes.
I would take that as a yes as well.
Unbelievable.
But you were talking about these QR codes, which in Oklahoma State has been in the headlines the last couple of days because, no kidding, the Oklahoma State football Cowboys of the Big 12.
So tacky.
They have QR codes on the back of each player's helmet, right,
yes.
Dima? So if people have a favorite player and want to help with that player's expenses or give them a little bit of spending money or whatever, they just take a picture of that QR code and can pay that player on the spot.
I really thought it was a joke until, like, Oklahoma State, like the official Twitter account for them, tweeted it. I thought it was a joke until I saw that, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
So what's next? Are football players going to look like NASCAR drivers with 100 patches on their uniform?
I mean, I don't think that's outside of the realm of possibility now.
Yeah.
I think you're probably
the coaches
right.
In their post-game interview. Well, our Napa Auto Parts defensive line just didn't cut it today. Like you said, it's all –
our quarterback room is it's a paint store, you know. They paint the secondary.
I got to talk to Coach Ladner. What an odd place to have a basketball tournament, right?
But you know what? If nothing else,
basketball is an international sport.
And he and Coach Cardona have proven they will shake every bush and turn over every rock to find potential talent that could play, you know, at Southern Miss.
That's true.
Yeah.
This is true.
Well,
and Coach Cardona, with those continued international ties and with the way that basketball players seem to be moving in and out of programs, it is tough to really emotionally attach yourself to a team, but Austin Crowley proved, you know, and through the collective, through donations to the collective, that they get some players and we'll be able to keep some, you know, over the years.
Well, to thank Aaron Kershaw, I thought he did a really good job giving us a preview of Kentucky football. Seth Smith, wish the PRCC guys nothing but great success.
Meet the Wildcats tonight at 7 o'clock at Dobie Holden Stadium in Poplarville. Not only the football team, but every athletic team at Pearl River with the String of Pearls and the cheerleaders. And everybody will be introduced tonight at 7 in Pop Vegas.
All right, that'll wrap us up for this day. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you very much for listening, as always. And until next time, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Cue the music.
Well, and I was going to say, tomorrow we're going to learn more about the Pride, right? We're going to learn about the halftime shows that the band is putting on. Travis Higa will be
Zappa
here.
Frank Zappa special. I cannot wait to hear about this.
The tribute to Frank Zappa.
It's going to be good. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.